Welcome back to the Thermo Diet Podcast. I'm your host, Jayton Miller, and today I have on the podcast Mr. Josh Rubin. So originally we had planned on talking about vitamin A and kind of the role that it plays in the body, the different forms and different things that it works with to do its duties and stuff like that. But we actually ended up talking a lot about the psychological and spiritual side of the healing journey and things that we can do to kind of get out of that sympathetic state from a psychological or thinking or cerebral side and to get back into our body, into the present moment, and kind of enjoy where we're at and what we're doing. So this was a really fun podcast. I really enjoyed getting to talk to Josh about this today. So yeah, let's hop into it. Welcome back to the Thermo Diet Podcast. I'm your host, Jayton Miller, and I have one of the OGs, Josh Rubin, on the podcast today. How are you doing today, Josh?
Pretty good, dude. I was on a long time ago. What year was that?
Oh, I think it was right whenever the pandemic hit last year.
Oh, it was only about a year ago. Mm-hmm. It seems longer.
It does, yeah. There's a, if you watch Hulu, there's a commercial on there where it says the past 2 years have been a long decade.
Yeah.
So it kind of is interesting.
True. Totally true. Yeah.
But so for the listeners out there who might not know who you are yet, you mind kind of giving them a background and kind of where you came from?
I came from my mother's womb. And I'm just kidding. So it's been a long journey for me. I mean, you know, just through growing up with a medical kind of based family. My mother was a nurse. My dad was an x-ray tech. And I kind of grew up in hospitals. And then going to school for occupational therapy. And then this is just the fast forward version, you know, doing that for a while and then getting into Palchek and doing his certifications and then teaching for him for 10 years. Along the way, picking up tons of other certifications, neuromuscular therapy and, you know, EFT and yada, yada, yada. And then through that kind of got really involved in osteopathic manual therapy. So I ended up going to school in Canada for 5 years to go through that whole deal and learning true osteopathy in its form. Somewhere in the mix in there, I went to Chinese medicine school for 3 years as well. And then just evolved to the point where, you know, kind of pulling the philosophy of osteopathy, which is really, if you give the body what it needs, nature will do the rest. Our nutritional program, when I say our, it's like me and my wife, Jeannie, our nutritional program together to kind of create this, you know, just don't chase the symptoms, create health. And if we really provide the body what it needs based on our physiology, nature's going to do the rest, you know, because I think people are lost. People are chasing, they're exhausted. They're sick of supplements. They're sick of labs, you know, their head spinning. There's so many philosophies, but when you really boil it down, there's one philosophy and that's human physiology. You don't try different types of gas on your car, right? You don't go, well, let me try feeding this cow nuts and bolts or a high protein diet or a low carb diet, right? Cows look at their physiology. They're meant to eat grass. Can we feed them anything else? Sure, they're going to eat it, but they get sick. We know this. Same thing with humans, but we like to play the game. We like to outsmart nature, but guess what? Nature's always going to win. And that's why people are struggling. I mean, I've been in this industry 20 years, same thing my wife. In the beginning, it was, let's just teach people how to eat organic. We never talked about SIBO. We never talked about histamine issues. We never talked about food intolerances, H. pylori, candida, MTHFR. Like we never even, it wasn't even heard of. And then as the industry started to evolve and grow, then came the lab tests. And I truly believe that functional medicine is worse for the industry than Western medicine, because they've created so many of these disorders. They have so many labs that are so expensive and so complex, when in the end, they all tell you the same thing and they're truly a lot of the times not needed. And they just push you down the rabbit hole deeper and deeper of chasing, right? So it just was that evolution and now it's just out of control. You know, now we're seeing, you know, all autoimmune Hashimoto's and all these different, you know, genetic issues with MTHFR and histamine issues. And it just shows you how far past the balance point we are. And in my opinion, we're lost. You know, and that's what we're trying to do with our approach, is pull people back a little bit and say more is not better. More supplements isn't better. Chasing your symptoms isn't better. You know, working with more practitioners is not better. How do we really find what we need every day just to thrive? And that's the simplicity of it. We're making it too complex. And that's, of course, our opinion, but we are, because we have people saying, well, you know, when I eat an egg yolk, I'm getting an adrenaline response, which is increasing my heart rate. And I feel like I'm losing potassium, magnesium, which is making my eyes twitch. Like, what the F? Like, this isn't a chemistry experiment. Clients aren't supposed to be biologists or physiologists. They're supposed to say, I feel this and I feel that. And what do I need? We've lost our way and we're getting more confused because we're making it too complex. And I'm not saying that along the way we haven't played a role in that. Totally we have. Everyone has. And especially with social media, it's just out of control. So we're trying to get people back to how do we create balance? Because when we create balance, life is much more fun. Healing is much more fun. And if it's not fun, why the hell are we doing it?
Definitely, for sure. What do you think is the most fun part for you?
You know, I mean, I personally feel like I've evolved over the 20 years because, of course, back in the day, I was definitely dogmatic, especially working with Paul Cech, and, you know, he's super dogmatic. So, you know, that rubbed off on me. And I don't, along the way, when I left there, I was like, I don't want to be like that anymore. Like, it just didn't, I didn't like it. I saw a piece of me when I left. It was like, boom. I'm like, I don't like that. So I think the evolution of just how I've grown and how I educate people, and really just creating a platform so people can really see that they have a choice and they have a power, you know, because I think a lot of practitioners, I'm not pointing fingers, but a lot of philosophies, they take away your power and they tell you what's wrong with you, right? And for us, we don't want to focus on that. We want to focus on what's right with you. So for me, that's the fun part, is really working with people and helping them reframe their health and saying, oh my God, it is this simple. Oh my God, there's way more right with me than what's wrong with me. Oh my God, I don't have to spend $5,000 on supplements. You know, I might need some, but I don't need to spend all those. I don't need to spend $2,000 on labs all the time. There's nothing wrong with me. You know, and I always tell people, because they say, well, I went to my doctor. He did labs. There's nothing wrong with me. So I went to a functional medicine practitioner. Well, guess what? Doctors are supposed to find pathology. So if a doctor, can I swear? Do you care?
I don't care. No, okay. Go ahead.
If a doctor says you don't have fucking anything wrong with you, then run with it. That should be a party. Because they're meant to find pathology, but now you're making it worse because functional medicine practitioners make it worse. So, like I said, my fun part is helping people find that balance point, and they come back to it and they're like, holy shit, it's not that complex. That's what's fun to me.
If there were like 3 to 5 high leverage factors that you usually see people come to you with, what do you think those are most commonly?
Mean symptoms?
Mm-hmm. Or like things that they could do, like the most high leverage factors that they could implement.
Change.
Mm-hmm.
I think the first is really understanding that the only way you're going to heal is to change. That's a big thing. People don't have understand that concept. They think because they took thyroid medication, they're changing. They took a supplement, they're changing. They did labs, or they're working with someone, they're changing. Or because they're eating just metabolic foods, they're changing. Unfortunately, you're not changing. You're just adding more to your plate, because guess what? Your diet alone didn't get you here, right? The lack of a supplement didn't get you here, right? Think about it. If you are living a fucking chaotic life and you've had crazy trauma in your childhood, or a traumatic birth, or you did tons of diets, you know, when you were in high school and college, or partied or did drugs, and, you know, it's just normal life, but that's your story that creates who you are right now. Right. So let's say that's the chaos in a sense, because a lot of us in our life probably had more stress than not. Right. And then doctor says, oh, you have hypothyroidism. Take this medication. How is that going to fix you when nothing from the cause has changed? It's not going to fix you. So I think people have to realize the only way you're going to change is not only to change how you eat, right? And I think this is a big thing we talk about, because people think, well, I eat metabolic, it's not working. Well, guess what? there's so many other pieces of your life that are going to influence your physiology even more than just food. And I think a big thing in this industry is we're strangling food and it's just completely dead and decapitated. Like, how much more can we strangle it? We need to start talking about, what are you doing during the day? How are you managing your stress? How are you managing your hours? Are you taking time out to eat? Are you running from client to client eating or not eating? You know, when are you eating your first meal? What are your sleep patterns like? Are you able to sleep? What else are you doing in your life besides just working, right? Do you have any hobbies? Do you take me time, right? All these things we need to talk about, because guess what? That's going to be more influential in your physiology, your healing, than metabolic foods. Right. So I think the biggest thing is people need to understand you have to change. You can't go, I'm doing yoga, but you're still physiologically in the middle of Vietnam. Guess what that's going to do for you? Absolutely nothing. You still got bullets flying by your head and you're scared shitless. Physiologically, your nervous system is really, you know, wound up. So you take a supplement, you're still in the middle of Vietnam. You're taking collagen oil, you're still in the middle of Vietnam. So we have to change to create change. So for me, that's a big one. I want clients to understand it's just not about food. The second would be evaluating how many supplements you're on. People come to me and they're on 10, 15, 20 supplements. And I say, hey, how do you think it's working for you? Oh, they're all good. Well, let's think about this. If they were good, would we be working together? No, we wouldn't be, right? So I think that's the second thing, is reevaluate what you're on. Because number one, most of the stuff you're on is synthetic. A lot of these synthetic supplements, like calcium, vitamin D, synthetic A, zinc, they all deplete one of the most important minerals in this universe, and that's copper, right? B vitamins, they're made of coal tar. So we're taking a ton of synthetic. It's not the same as like retinol palmitate, which is synthetic A. It's not the same as retinol, which is in animal foods. It's very different. And I actually wrote a post recently on a new study that showed, you know, that obviously this was in vitro. It wasn't like, I don't think it was in, I have to refer back to the study, but I don't think it was like in the animal, but they showed the specific bacteria that is very common with SIBO. And they showed when they introduced beta carotene, retinol palmitate, you know, all these synthetics, or, you know, veggie source beta carotene to, I can't break down the study, but the bottom line is they showed a sharp increase very quickly in this bacteria. It basically proliferated and grew exponentially in a very short amount of time. But when they introduced retinol, there was no growth and nothing, right? So retinol is, and this is what we'll talk about, it's very important in the body, but reevaluate your supplements. It's showing you you're not creating any change, number one, like we just talked about. And number two, you're taking in tons of synthetics. Get it from your food. So that'd be the second one. Third, I think it's, you know, fun. People are not having fun. They're not having fun with their diet. They're not having fun with their food approach. They're not having fun with their labs, how much money they're spending. And in their life, people are unhappy, you know? So it's like, if it's not fun, why are you doing it? Just because someone tells you this is the diet for you doesn't mean you have to do it. Find what is going to be fun. Because if it's fun, it's going to be fun and it's more likely to work. And if you have kids, think about it. Like when you try to do something with your child or feed them something, it's not fun. They don't want to do it. But if you make that fun, they're more apt to do it, right? So I think that would be the third, is finding a little bit more fun in your diet, what you're doing, your life, all these different things. Because I think it's going to bring you more joy and more success. Mm-hmm. I would think those would be like three big things for me. I know people are probably looking like, what food should I eat? Trust me, it's not the end all be all. I've been doing this 20 years and I work with so many people that come to me eating metabolic foods and that have perfect temps and pulses and they still feel like shit, right? Why? Because they're not creating change. They're not making the journey fun. And they think that they need every supplement under the sun to support them, right? And that's not what it's about.
Definitely. Yeah. I would, one of the things that I would add personally, especially over the past few years, is self-love. Like, yeah. I see a lot of people who hate themselves and hate where they're at and want to get to where they're going so quickly that they don't take the time to love themselves now. And I would say that whenever I learned how to do that effectively, that's whenever my health really started to take leaps and bounds.
That's a huge nervous system piece, right? Because when we're in that ventral vagal, which is your parasympathetic piece, it's one of your pieces of your parasympathetic, that's what people call rest and digest, right? It's your social engagement part of your nervous system, right? Why? Because of where the vagus nerve goes to the heart and to the facial muscles, the connection. So it's about self-compassion, self-understanding, self-love, you know, self-everything, but also of others. And that's that nervous system piece that a lot of people are in. Why? Because they're in that other piece, the sympathetic, you know, which is that running from a lion, or they're in a deeper piece, which is that dorsal vagal piece, which is called that immobilized, frozen state, right? And a lot of people are there right now, especially with COVID, especially with just a lot of people that have had traumatic traumas in their life usually get pushed into that dorsal vagal. They're frozen. They've given up. They're apathetic. They're depersonalized. How often do you hear that? They have low blood pressure, low body temps and pulses. They're cold all the time, right? They just can't get out of the hole. So I agree. And that's part of our healing process. How do we reconnect where we are? How do we understand our story and how we got here? And how do we not try to fix it, you know, but how do we create awareness so we know we're there so we can work on getting back? And then when we get back, how do we create awareness to know when we pop out of that and how to get back to that homeostatic state? And that's awareness. That's what our whole approach is about. If I could put one word to it, it's awareness. Because if we don't have awareness, you know, think of this. If you have a child, we always talk about this with people. How much awareness do you have for your son or daughter? A shit ton. You know what their cry means. Oh, does that mean they poop their pants or pee their pants, or they're hungry, or they need me, or they're hurt, or whatever, even when they're older? You have so much awareness for your kids. You know exactly what they need when they need it. That's the awareness we have to have for ourselves. If we don't have that awareness, how can we make the best decisions for ourselves every day? How can we say, you know what? I didn't sleep good last night, a fucking crazy, stressful work day. I'm not going to go do CrossFit today. But what do most people do? They have their first meal at noon. It's pizza and coffee. And then they have a crazy, stressful day. And then they go do CrossFit. That's not awareness, right? That's disconnection from self. So I agree 100%.
Definitely. Yeah. And I think a lot of the mindsets going around right now, like the Jocko Willink, waking up at 4:30 a.m. every single morning, no matter what.
David Goggins.
Absolutely. Yeah. I see all of that stuff make...
I don't agree with any of it, but it is what it is.
It makes people more sick, in my opinion. I think for one, it creates the necessity for the sympathetic state. Like they have to be going, they have to be driving forward. Instead of just figuring out how to rest and be with themselves in the moment.
Was he a Marine too, like Goggins?
Jocko Willink was a Navy SEAL.
Yeah. So they're just taking that and putting it to real life. And unfortunately, they're looking at it from a motivational standpoint versus the person and their physiology. And that's okay. That's what they do. You know, the Marines don't care what's going on physiologically. It's just, you got to grind, and you have to grind. Why? Because if you're in war or you're captured, you can't give up. And that's the mentality. Unfortunately, life shouldn't be like a war or a battlefield. Yes, I don't agree with it at all. Not even like 0.01%. But, you know, if you look at the work of Hans Seeley and all these people, they talked about, you know, people that have a hard time being bored, have a hard time spending time with themselves, have a hard time slowing down. Yes, they're locked in that sympathetic state. Sympathetic state is about mobilization. Think about it. What do these people do? They're mobile 24/7 and they wake up 4 a.m. and they're running 26 miles every day and, you know, they're hardly eating and it's go, go, go. That's not a way to go. To me, and this is the evolution of just my work and my awareness, is I don't judge these people because I know exactly where they are and why they're there. Mm-hmm. Right? I know they're deep in their sympathetic state, and I know why they're there because that's how they've been trained. And I know how disconnected they are from themselves, because if they really took the time to connect with how they feel and where it's pushing them, they wouldn't do it. So you have that self-compassion. I can't change everyone. You know, back in the day, I wanted to. I can't change everyone. You know, I can't change anyone, actually. It's up to them. And that's why my goal is to educate people, not tell them what to do, because when we educate, people can make a decision for themselves, and that's empowerment, and that's what healing is about. It's not me changing you. So I agree. They're so deep and they're sympathetic, and they're teaching people to perpetuate that. We're doing the opposite, 100%.
Definitely. Now, whenever it comes to that awareness, do you think that it most commonly comes down to the intentionality of it?
What do you mean? Like,
being intentional about what it is that you're doing and paying attention to?
With our clients? Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is about that. It's about how do I create the best day for me so I can thrive? Mm-hmm. It's just like your kids. Go back to kids. You know, your kids go to school. They have a field trip. What do? You make sure that they pack the right types of foods, you know, and they pack their sweatshirt, or they pack the right type of stuff in their bag that they need for the day. Think about when you have a meeting. Okay, I have a meeting from 9 to 12 today. You know, I need to make sure they have my PowerPoint done. I bring these papers, whatever happens in meetings, you know. Talk about more meetings typically. But that's the intention we have to have for our health. The problem is we put everyone and everything in front of it. And we wonder why we're not healing. It's because the most important person in your life is you, right? You can't give what you don't have. So if you're not number one, and your business is struggling, it's because you're not number one, right? Mm-hmm. If your life is struggling, if your kids are struggling, it's because you're not number one. You have to be number one. You have to have the energy to play with your kids. You have to have the energy and the grounding and the intent and the awareness to educate your kids, to be a role model, right? Mm-hmm. And look at our kids today. They're struggling more than ever. We have kids shooting other kids. We have kids on drugs, addicted to phones, depersonalized, disconnected, isolated. It's insane. You know, if you compare it to when you were young, I mean, you're younger than me, but even comparing it to when I was young or in my teens and 20s, it's very different. And they're struggling more than ever. Why? Because parents are going, doing, right? And they're not putting themselves, and they're not putting their, and I know this is a harsh statement, and I'm not saying I'm perfect. I'm not saying everyone, I'm just based off of who I've worked with, my experiences. A lot of people don't put their family first or their kids first. They think they do, but they don't, right? We have to. It's the most important thing, you know, the health of you, the health of your family, that relationship. You know, it's a concept I learned from Paul, probably one of the only concepts I still talk about, but he called it the I we all approach. The I is your soil. What makes your soil? You as a person, whether it's your sleep patterns, whether it's your food, emotional state, me time, hobbies, whatever it may be, what makes you tick and put money in the bank account, right? That's your I. Your we is the you know, your soil and the roots. The we is the tree. Same thing. But we is your relationship with someone else, right? A thing, another person, a friendship, right? What are your we values? But your I makes up your we. So if you don't have a strong I, you're the type of person that has trouble building relationships with other people. And then your all is your family, your business. That's the leaves. Same thing. If you don't have a strong I, you can't have a strong we. You're not going to have a strong all, right? So I think I agree with that 100%. It has to be intentional. Not OCD, but it's awareness. You know, it's just that awareness and saying, I'm supposed to work out today, but I feel like shit. Maybe I shouldn't. Or maybe I should just go and lay on the ground and just do some breath work. Or maybe I should take the time to just sit in my car because my house is crazy and just put some music on and just chill. Like, we don't do these things. And I know they sound simple, but we're pushing the pedal to the metal. And that's why we're seeing all these genetic issues that people think are genetic, right? Like MTHFR, histamine issues. We're seeing 20 years ago, never worked with anyone with Hashimoto's. That's all we work with is Hashimoto's, autoimmune disorders. Hashimoto's is an autoimmune disorder. So we're seeing the end of the spectrum of these disorders because people are pushing the pedal to the metal, and they have for way too long. Yeah.
So one of the things that I see pretty common is, so whenever people do put the things away and they try to eliminate the distractions, they're still very cerebral. And they still tend to focus on all the things that they did at work or have to do at work the next day, or things that they could be doing instead of relaxing. What are some of the tools that you use to eliminate that?
That's a tough one. Because I think when people are ready, they're going to be slightly ready. And that's why we focus on food with people in the beginning, because if they start to feel a little better, then they're going to be more willing to take that next step. Mm-hmm. But I think a lot of that has just been ingrained since our childhood, right? How we experienced our parents, right? And what they kind of taught us. And that's where a lot of people develop this. You're talking about deep-rooted dysfunction that's more than just the now and staying present, like everyone talks about. It's not that easy for some people, because that can be very, very uncomfortable for a lot of people, like very uncomfortable because they have traumas, whether it's verbal or physical or physiological. So it's not an easy thing to just say, well, I'm going to start staying present, you know? And like I said, that's why we start with the food. They start feeling a little better. They start feeling clearer. We like people to kind of pause during the day and just check in with how they feel, you know, and write it on their log so they can start making these connections with their day, with their food, what's working, what's not working, you know, and then we dive deeper and just the simplicity things, like what makes you happy? What makes you resourced? You know, what makes you smile? You know, well, I like to play my guitar. When's the last time you did it? 20 years ago. Well, can you play for 5 minutes? Does it have to be an hour? Can you take it to work? Maybe at lunch break, play for 5 minutes? You know, those little things, believe it or not, can add up, right? And allow you to be present with what you're doing, kind of fill up that personal bank account over time. But, you know, to teach someone to be present, I think, like I said, it's not just about yoga and the now and breath work, because I truly believe for a lot of people, it's a deep rooted issue that we've been taught over time. So I think indirectly, the more you use food to regulate your body and your nervous system, the more you fill up your tank with me time, the more you begin to balance those pieces and parts of your life that aren't serving you anymore. You know, you start to push yourself towards that piece. And then you can decide how you want it to go. Do I want to work with a counselor? You know, I'm ready now. I have that resiliency. And this is why a lot of people don't have success working with counselors, because they don't have the metabolic reserve to handle it. They don't have the bandwidth to connect with it. You know, you're this way because of how you experienced your parents or because of a trauma, you know. But when they feel more resilient, okay, what's my next step? Do I want to work with a counselor? Do I want to read a book? Do I want to go to a retreat? Do I want to do some meditation? They have the bandwidth to do it. So I think it's a journey, you know. Healing is definitely a journey for a lot of people. And I think in this day and age, of course, nutrition is kind of like the gateway drug to push people into that realm of healing.
Definitely. So would you say that one of the more significant tools that y'all use is reflection in that case?
Yeah, we want people to connect and see how they're feeling. Like a client said to me, oh, you know, I had egg yolks. It gave me an adrenaline response. There's no way that's going to happen, number one, especially because it's all fat. Mm-hmm. Let's move away from what's wrong with us. Let's move away from attacking food and thinking food is the only problem that's making us feel the way we feel. Let's look at what you ate with it. Did you just have fruit with it? Of course, it is no protein. It's all about balance. You know, when was your last meal before what you just had? Oh, you waited 4 hours and you had an egg yolk and half an apple. It's not enough after waiting 4 hours based on who you are and the state you're in. What's happening during that day? So we can look at what's going on and start like chess, moving the pieces in the right direction to create a better scenario. Okay, the reason it didn't work is based on your logs. I'm seeing that you're around this time, you need to go about 3 hours. At the 3 hour mark, I want you to have the egg yolks, maybe have more than half an apple, have some fruit and protein with it. Let's create balance, you know, and then look at the other pieces, you know, in regards to, you know, what was going on that time of the day. Or is it quite common, you know, like another client was saying, you know, I'm usually stressed this part of the day and super tired. And I'm like, well, if you are, then why are you waiting 5 hours to eat? Right? Let's support this part of the day. And if you're that stressed, let's talk about how you can take a few minutes here and there to decompress, center yourself, right? and really support that part of the day. It's about support. It's about nurturing and listening to your body.
Definitely. So what does, keeping this in mind, what does a typical day for you look like in terms of that?
Well, obviously I work with a lot of clients, so I have to really be careful because I have a shit ton of clients right now. So I don't overbook myself. Like, I book people out. I mean, I talk to my clients every 3 weeks, but like anyone signing on now, for instance, doesn't start to end of May, June, beginning of June. So I spread people out. I take control of my calendar. I have to, because I have to find time to do social media, write posts for social media, our group coaching. So for me, a lot of it is about rhythm. And, you know, my wife takes Harrison to school and I pick him up. So my day ends around 3:30, 3:45, you know. Some days I do go to the gym at 5:30 in the morning, because if I don't, then my day just gets too packed. I take up my free time with the gym, and I don't want to do that. I want my free time to be, I like just laying on the ground, to be honest with you. It's really, for some reason, grounding for me. I just lay on the ground for sometimes 5-10 minutes. I like going outside and just doing a little bit of yard work here and there, house stuff in the middle of my day, taking time to eat my meals, do a little stretching. So I don't pack my day, you know, but I don't work every day either. So I don't work with clients on Tuesdays and Wednesdays. I only work with clients Mondays, Thursdays, Fridays, which makes it complex because I have a lot of clients, but I have to do that because it allows me to create balance. It gives me the freedom to get caught up in my emails. It gives me the freedom to breathe a little bit, right? Versus talking to people every single day. So yeah, I mean, I do go to the gym some days in the afternoon, like today I will, because I don't have clients. But yeah, I mean, for me, it's just taking breaks. I don't have anything like miraculous where I like sit down and play the guitar or anything. It's just taking breaks and stepping away from my work, closing that. And, you know, even if it's just doing my laundry, it's a break, you know? And I do some studying too. I take some time to study, not a ton. I used to study a shit ton and I just don't need to do that anymore. But I take probably 30 minutes a day to do a little studying review. Moving away from the more is better, you know? I have a strong base and I have a really good memory. So when I kind of hear or read something, I kind of pick it up right away and I can connect some dots. So, you know, I take 30 minutes a day, sometimes more, but, you know, to do a little review, do a little study, you know, I'm taking a course right now. So it's not like a jam packed day. I mean, yeah, I work 9 to 4-ish, but it's not packed with clients. If I see a new client, it's only one new client a day. And then typically I might talk to, what's tomorrow? So tomorrow I have 3 clients. Friday I have a new client and 3 clients. So I just don't overpack my days. I just spread people out. And, you know, I've lost some clients covered. Like, I don't want to start in June. That's okay. But I can't get you in sooner. You know why? Because of my health and my boundaries. I have to stick to them, right? So I'm really, and it's taken me a long time to do that, to not give myself away to meet other people's needs. And it's a hard boundary to follow, but when you do it, it's pretty rewarding.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Is there any advice that you give to clients that are employees that need to set boundaries like that?
It's tough because they don't get enough break time. You know, they get 15 minutes or a 30-minute lunch, and it's challenging, you know. Mm-hmm. So I tell people, just because you're not sitting under a tree with hemp pants on and meditating doesn't mean you can't take a minute, two, or here and there to do a little breathing or recentering or just pausing, you know, especially if you're at your desk. You know, of course, if you're a bartender or something like that, it's a little more challenging, but it's about setting up the day pre and post to support that, you know? So I always tell people at work, take the time, if you're sitting all day, to stand up, to pause, to breathe. Or if you have an office, lay down on the floor and take a few minutes just to just recenter yourself. Or ask yourself, what do I need right now? Oh, I need to go splash some cold water on my face. Or I just need a glass of water. Or ask yourself what you need. But the more, even if you take a minute to yourself four or five times a day. A minute's not a long time, but you add that up over the day, it's a lot of nice pauses and breaks that can really create a lot of balance for yourself, right? And really change and shift the energy of the day from go, 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 rushed to I'm doing something, I'm going to pause and recenter. Doing something, pause and recenter. So it breaks it up a lot for a lot of people, and they feel like they're doing something for themselves.
Definitely. Are there typically ways that you see people help shift their perspective in a lot of cases? So maybe they can't change what they're doing or what's happening to them, but simply just looking at it from a different perspective tends to help.
You know, I think a lot of things in life we focus on, we have no control over, like the pandemic. I mean, yes, it sucks. I wish we did have control, but we have no control. What's happening with the government, what's happening with the vaccines, what's happening with the masks, we have no control. It just is what it is. I mean, do I have my views on it? Sure. Does it piss me off? Sure. But you can either let it stress you and kill you, or control what you can control. And that's your health, your family, your relationships, your thoughts, everything in between. So I think for us, or a lot of people, it just comes down to like, what are you putting energy into? Does it really need energy? Do you have any control over it? You know, I forget your exact question, but I think for me, a lot of people put so much time into things they have no control over, and they have to shift their thoughts into what do I have control over, right? It's that thing of, why am I focusing all the time what's wrong with me? Let me focus on some of the things in my life that are right with me, that I do have control over, that are going to allow me to put energy into the bank account versus just withdraw money, right? Because that's what focusing on the things we have no control over, it's just waste energy. It's wasted energy. So it's just that shift. And it's not easy because, once again, we've learned this. It's deep-rooted from how we experienced our parents, you know, how we experienced different relationships. So it's a challenging thing to work within, but I think when we step back, we begin to realize, holy shit, like a lot of my energy is being wasted because I'm focusing on things I have no control over.
You know? What would you say is one of the things that you struggle with the most right now?
Things that I struggle with the most right now. I would say, go ahead.
For me personally, I am one of the people who I tend to have anxiety about things that I'm not doing that I could be doing whenever I try to slow down.
Yeah.
So that's definitely the thing that I struggle with the most.
I used to struggle with that a lot, for sure. I mean, I'm not saying I don't, but I wouldn't say it's like the top priority. I would say the biggest thing for me, and it's not like I'm struggling, but it's when you have a child, it's a whole different ballgame, you know, because I feel like 99% of the time when we get upset with our children, it's because of something we're doing or not doing. Like, I need to answer this email. My child's irritating me. So I lash out, right? Or they're just playing and they want to play and we're not in a good mood or we don't have the energy and we get irritated. We'll say, stop. You know, all they want to do is play, and we get irritated with them or we lash out at them. And not that we yell at Harrison at all, but I would say that would be my biggest thing that I'm constantly being aware of, because they're just kids. They just want to play and have fun, you know, and they don't care how busy we are. They don't care how many clients we have. They don't care. They're so, so what I'm looking for, unconditional. They're so just innocent, you know. So I try to make sure that, like, when my son is there and let's say I do get an email or I'm trying to do yard work and he wants to help out, that I let him. I don't stress out about, like, okay, the rocks are getting on the grass, who cares, I can pick it up, or there's water getting outside the bathtub a little bit, okay, I can clean it up, it's not a big deal, you know. But I was taught the opposite. You know, I love my dad to death. We have a great relationship, but I was fucking scared of him growing up. You know, water got outside the bathtub. Forget about it. I would be yelled at. Or you know, if rocks got on the grass or mulch got on the, you know, so I try to do the opposite of my son. I try to realize, like, he just wants to have fun and play. He's a kid. And it only happens once in his life. So that's the thing I'm most aware of, is like trying not to project my issues or project my nervousness or project my wanting to do something else onto him, because all he wants to do is play. Mm-hmm.
Definitely. Well, this definitely took a left turn from the topic that
we
had planned. But I love conversations like these. Like, the psychological and spiritual side of healing is something that I take more and more respect for every single day. Are you into like any kind of meditative practices or anything like that?
You know, not really. I used to do a lot of meditation with Paul Check and when I was in the Check Institute, and it did a lot of benefit for me. But when I left there, I felt like some of the things I was doing just because Paul did them. Mm. It really wasn't something I wanted to do. And not to say at the time it was making me do it. I just did it because it was like a Check thing. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't vibe with me in the sense of, like, you know, some people like, oh, I love meditation. It just grounds me. It doesn't, like, I think people think meditation has to be just sitting still. I just look at it differently, you know, because meditation for someone could just be like really riding their bike outside in nature or going for a walk or putting on music and dancing in their room. You know, to me, it's about what charges up your tank. So I don't do meditation. I would say a few years ago, I was really into breath work and I did a ton of breath work. I don't do as much anymore. I mean, I shouldn't say that. I still do it at night, certain types, but I don't spend like my whole day, like AM, midday, and PM doing it. I don't have any practice right now, you know, but I would say the biggest resource for me that helps me fill up my tank, I guess you can call it a meditation, is playing with my son. You know, I get to act like a kid. We play in the sand, we play at the park, wrestle. That to me is fills up my tank and really helps me create a lot of awareness. And that would be my practice right now, I guess, would be acting like a kid.
Definitely. Yeah, that's awesome. One of my favorite sayings is, the importance of being childlike instead of being childish.
Yeah.
It was very powerful.
Yeah.
I really enjoy playing with animals. That's probably one of the things that I love. I'd really like to get an animal. I don't currently have one. But like, I have friends who have animals, and every time I get the chance, I love it. It's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. Yeah. We have horses around the corner. So sometimes we walk there, and horses are pretty, pretty special animals. You know, you just sit there and watch them and feed them and just be with them for a long time. But I agree 100%. Animals are definitely, for a lot of people, super therapeutic.
Do you think that novelty in the environment tends to have an effect like that as well?
Like,
Whether it's exploring a new environment or adding something new to the environment that you're currently in?
Well, it comes back to that change, right? Mm-hmm. If we don't change our environment, you know, it's like that old saying, you can't heal in the same environment that you got sick. Mm-hmm. So we have to change our environment to reconnect, to create self-awareness, to become more parasympathetic, you know, to have self-compassion. So I agree, whether it's your internal environment, whether it's the environment in your house, whether it's environment in your work, your friends, your sleep patterns, we have to change our environment, because if we don't, doesn't matter how much money you spend or who you work with or what you do, it's not going to work. And that's why a lot of people waste a lot of money with functional medicine practitioners. And I'm not saying it doesn't work, I'm just saying there's a lot that they're not asking you to change. How can it work? It's a horrible philosophy. it's no different than Western medicine. They're just using supplements. Lab supplements, philosophy is exactly the same. Chase the lab. Who cares who the person is? It doesn't work like that. That's not health. If Western medicine in that sense, obviously Western medicine has its place, but in that sense of do a lab, give a medication, you don't like that, that's a philosophy. It's allopathic. And then you go to an FM practitioner. What's the difference? Absolutely nothing. Same philosophy. So if we don't change our environment, we keep doing the same things, definition of insanity. That's what a lot of people are doing. They come to me with 15 labs and 15 supplements, and we start talking nutrition. And like, so what lab do you think we should do? Really? You have every lab under the sun and you want to do more when you told me that what you just did didn't work and you don't want to spend money on labs. Well, what supplements do you think we should have? Really? All you've done is take supplements. You tell me you don't want to take any more and you're sick of spending money on supplements. Working with FM practitioners didn't work. Why would we want to do the same thing? Well, because changing is scary. We have to get vulnerable. We have to open up and go, what got me here? It's not just I was vegan for 3 years. That's not why you're here. You have to start looking deeper and further back in your life to look at what got you here. And then it's scary because we have to step up and say, this is not working or that's not working anymore. And if I don't change that, it doesn't matter what I eat or what I take, nothing's going to work. Mm-hmm. You have to change your environment. It's that simple.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to be respectful of your time. Where can people find you on social media, website, all that good stuff?
Our website is eastwesthealing.com. Our Facebook is the same. Our Instagram is where we spend a lot of our time, is Real Food Gangsters. We do have a YouTube channel as well. We haven't posted on there in a long time, but we're starting next Wednesday to start posting some videos. So you can find those. You'll find the links for those on our website or our Instagram as well. But, you know, we have some free resources on our website. Our website's actually, and everything's being redone right now. So that should be coming out pretty soon. But we have two new resources that will be on our website as well. That will be pretty awesome for people. So we offer a lot of free content, a lot of free stuff for people because we know not everyone can work with us, you know, so utilize it because we try to help people connect the dots, give the free resources, you know, and then, of course, if you need help, we're here. We do group coaching and one-on-one coaching.
Definitely. Awesome. Yeah. Well, for all the listeners out there, make sure to check him out. I love your Instagram channel.
Thank you, brother.
I watch your stories all the time, and half the time they always make me laugh. So definitely check his Instagram out, cool. Check out his website. And Josh, I'm really grateful for your time and thank you for hopping on today.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit the like button, subscribe, and leave a